What's up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. As usual, and always, on the Locked On Podcast Network. So many things to talk about today. Going to be doing a game preview for the Clippers' final preseason game. It is actually happening tonight against Maccabi Haifa. Going to talk about some developments in the Jimmy Butler fiasco at this point. Can we call this Bucketgate? Butlergate? I don't know. And then going to wrap up some preseason stuff right off the bat just to get you guys eased in to the madness that is the Minnesota Timberwolves situation. So right off the bat, let's go into some preseason stuff. The Lakers beat the Warriors 123-113. LeBron had 15, 10, and 5 in 8 minutes. He looked athletic as ever. He looked great. Ingram had 26 on 5 of 13 shooting. Not the strongest shooting performance, but he did go 15 of 17 from the line. That might pop out as a lot of free throws to you because it was. There were 63 fouls called in this game. All the games so far in the preseason have been called pretty tight. A couple games ago, Tobias got two early fouls in the first quarter against the Timberwolves, which was frustrating to see. Let's hope they call it a little looser during the regular season. Kyle Kuzma had 22. Steph Curry had 22 as well for the Warriors with 5 turnovers. Lonzo, in his first game back, had 7, 4, and 2 in 23 minutes. Airballed his first 3 of the season, but hey, the stroke looked good and he held the follow-through. The added weight that he put on, I think it was like 10 to 15 pounds, is really going to help on his defense. His defense is so good. For all the knocks people have put on his game otherwise, his defense is really good. His reactions are pretty unbelievable. Durant put up 18 points on 8 of 14 shooting, another terrifyingly efficient game from him. So what does this mean in the grand scheme of things? That the Lakers are going to beat the Warriors every time they play him. That's, of course, what that means. No, who really cares? Blazers beat the Suns 116-83. DeAndre Ayton slowing down a little bit, only put up 9-4 in 15 minutes. No one on the Suns scored more than 12, which isn't good. Another bad sign for the Suns was that Josh Jackson had the most assists on the team. Man, they really need a point guard. Will Milos end up over there? I don't know. Probably. They need somebody to dish out assists because Josh Jackson should not and will not lead your team in assists every single game. Jake Layman had 28 for the Blazers. He seems like a nice diamond in the rough they found. A lot of people are over Zach Collins. I can't believe he kind of still seems to be getting these shots that he has for the Blazers, but we hope it works out, I guess. Who knows? Blazers kind of have been quiet this offseason. I was really worried about them last year, but it seems like they're maybe on the precipice of imploding. Not in any way that's happening in Minnesota. I'll touch on that in a few, but does seem like they're a little shaky as an organization. The Hawks beat the Spurs on an awesome buzzer beater from Trae Young. He was like 4 steps inside from half court. I cannot wait to see him in the regular season. He has a green light to do whatever he wants. I think at this point, the Hawks would let him show up in like sweatpants and he could play. His vision is absolutely insane. He seems to really lock in the last couple of minutes of regulation. I don't know. He's got this clutch gene in him. I hate that term if I'm being completely honest, but I can't think of a better term to use for Trae Young. Hit some insane floaters down the stretch. Rookie of the Year candidate? Sure. Will he win? Probably not. Taurean Prince had 25 on 9 of 11 shooting for the Hawks. When this team clicks, it's going to be great for the 3,300 people in the stands and the 17 people watching on Game Pass, or League Pass, excuse me. Alex Len, 16, 10, and 5. Everyone seems to do better once they leave Phoenix. I don't think he's ever put up a stat line like that for Phoenix ever. Rudy Gay dropped 28 in for the Spurs. Spurs defense looks a little suspect. Seems like they might average a lot of points, but also leak a lot of points too. Going to run through these last ones quick because I got a lot to talk about with the Jimmy Butler stuff. Wizards beat the Pistons in a reunion of a couple of Clippers old favorites. John Wall had 32 on 12 of 23 shooting, 5 boards and 9 assists. I'm a big John Wall fan. I love watching him play. I'm really happy Austin Rivers can be there to kind of spell him and give him some time off. Speaking of Austin Rivers, he had 7, 3, and 2. Going to need more playing time if they want to win. I think that's a fact. The Wizards have never had a good backup point guard ever. Blake put up 16 with 1 rebound. That seems fine. Raptors defeated the Nets 118-91. Kawhi, interestingly enough, had 11 points, 7 rebounds, and matched his career high with assists with 7. We'll wonder if those numbers will go up this year. Kind of baffling he doesn't have more than 7 ever in a game. Not that he's a distributor, but you'd think on a system like the Spurs, he would have fed his teammates a little bit more. Danny Green seems really comfortable in Toronto. Huge get for them. Jared Allen for the Nets had 24, which was pretty sweet. The second half was really, really, really bad of this game. Another example of the refs kind of locking down and stopping play from being very good. Let's hope that changes in the regular season. Final preseason game wrap-up. The Heat put up 140 to beat the Pelicans, 140 to 128. After this game, I really don't think the Heat are going to deal Bam or Josh Richardson anytime soon. Bam had 26 and 12. Jarrett had 25. Those guys are cornerstones for the Heat. They have so many bad contracts. They got to hold on to these guys. I really hope Jimmy Butler doesn't go there for the Heat's sake. These guys look great. Julius Randle had 26, 6 and 4. I think I was stunned with a lot of Lakers fans and everyone else when they let him go. There were some reports he didn't really want to be there, but I don't know. Who knows? It's going to be really cool to watch him and Anthony Davis this year. Teams are really going to have to figure out how to defend them. Elfrid Payton had 17 and Mirotić also put up 19. If they can get anywhere near that kind of production from those guys, the Pelicans are going to be another not so much sneaky playoff team, but a team that might just put you on your ass, basically, for lack of a better term. That was my very quick, perhaps too quick, wrap-up of the preseason games. Coming up after this break, we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler in this week's Thirsty Thursdays segment. And then after that, a preview of the upcoming preseason game. Okay, so right before I started this, a ton of stuff happened with the Jimmy Butler saga. There's a tweet from Chams that said Jimmy Butler called a players-only meeting to say that he would compete with these guys, quote-unquote. If you've been living under a rock, just a heads up, Jimmy Butler stormed into practice late, got the third stringers, and then decided to just go ahead and beat the first stringers for the Wolves. He cursed at everybody. Tibbs was probably chubbed up the entire time watching it. Apparently, he really liked the intensity. Jimmy Butler said he wanted to trade on Friday, but then apparently also called a players-only meeting saying he'd compete with these guys. But right before I started this podcast, Jeff Teague and a couple other players have refuted that it was a players-only meeting, saying that Shams made this up. What on earth is happening? This is the most insane, not even free agency, not even player acquisition. This is one of the crazier sagas, I would say, in maybe the history of the NBA with how good Jimmy Butler is. Where do we go from here? You have a guy who is under contract to play for a team, who said he's not going to re-sign with the team, who demanded a trade. Not a ludicrous situation. This has happened before. We've seen it happen. He takes the third stringers. And he absolutely, apparently, destroyed the first stringers. The people who like this seem to... I got kind of not in a spat with a guy on Twitter who said he loved this alpha male behavior. And I guess, I mean, I can see where it has its point, but do this during the season. You know, he was hurt last year. We know he's an intense guy. He seems like the kind of guy who's just going to be slowly meaner and meaner to you until you don't change how he wants you to be, and then he will explode like he did yesterday. I don't understand really what the desire is at this point, because he demanded he wants to get traded, and then during the practice yesterday he supposedly said, you can't win without me, so that's conflicting. And today there was a meeting of some kind. Jeff Teague did not refute that there was a meeting, but he did say it wasn't a players-only meeting. And now he wants to play with them. I think this is maybe just galvanizing support for Jimmy Butler to lead this team to some weird promised land that we'll see. I have no idea what to make with it. I think Minnesota should just cut their losses at this point and get what they can, because it's not even sure if he wants to leave. We don't even know where he wants to end up. He had a list of three teams, which then ended up he added Miami to it. They have been the most aggressive in trying to get him. But like I said after the play yesterday, they're not trading Richardson. They're not trading Bam. Where does he go? The Minnesota Timberwolves are under no obligation to trade him where he wants to go. I think they should just trade him to the Nets for Spencer Dinwiddie and just say, deal with it. You're on the Nets now. It's absolutely insane. I'm sure as I'm reporting this, something insane is happening. We might see a trade in the next minute and a half. The one thing I do know is that I don't want the Clippers to have this guy. He apparently wants to play with guys who want to win, who have the desire. He was yelling at Wiggins. You know, he says Wiggins is the most God-gifted player. Cat is the most talented, but they don't seem to work at it. People kind of forget maybe how young Cat and Wiggins are. I'm not excusing some of the defensive lapses from Karl Anthony Towns or the lack of running and hustle by Wiggins, as highlighted in an article that I believe came out last week. He ranks pretty close to the bottom in like distance traveled and stuff like that. But do this during the season. Get on the, if you're supposedly this player who wants to, you know, fight and all this stuff, do this during the season. We know he was injured last year. When he was healthy, they were the third seed. But maybe vocalize this more when it really matters, because right now it just seems like a giant distraction before the season. There's 6 days before it starts, and he might want to trade by Friday. He might want to stay with this team. He might want to stay with this team and then not re-sign with them. I don't know what he wants. I just can't imagine what it's like to be on that team right now. I want the Clippers to steer clear of this guy. I can't imagine him talking to Shea like this or Tobias. It would be terrible. He's coming into a new organization that he has no ties to other than the lunatic head coach that is Tibbs, and GM, I should say, that is Tom Thibodeau. He's going to go into a new organization he has no ties to and try and act like this, maybe. I'm saying this with a big maybe, but this is what you get with Jimmy Butler. You get this intensity that is, I think, only works for a very small percentage of the population to be motivated by. I personally, for what it's worth, would absolutely hate to work with someone like this. Send me your thoughts on that. Another note is that Woj's reporting on this is really weird. He was kind of glorifying all of his behavior. He said mic drop and Jimmy's back and all this really goofy stuff. I don't know. There's intensity, and then there's belittling young players who have time to kind of figure it out and try and get better. He knows, you know, you call these guys soft and stuff like that. So somewhere Jimmy Butler knows and thinks these guys are maybe mentally soft. So he combats that by belittling them. Not fun. I don't know anyone else out there who's similar to this. Some people don't respond well to this criticism. That's just how it works. Also, I'm glad he yelled at Tibbs. Tibbs deserves to be yelled at. Tibbs is terrible. I think at this point Tibbs just might be fired and maybe they'll keep Jimmy for half a season. I don't know who'd want to play for Tibbs after he got belittled by Jimmy Butler in the practice. Maybe Jimmy's the coach now. I have no idea. This is our Thirsty Thursday where we think we want to see people get more playing time. I would love to see Jimmy Butler get more playing time, because at this point, back it up, man. I think if you don't have the best season of your life, be it through efficiency, be it through great defense, you better have a good season. He's kind of injury prone. We hope he doesn't get injured, but this is setting up to really maybe cut into his paycheck if things don't go well this season. That's all I'm going to say on the Jimmy Butler trade situation, whatever the hell it is. God, I hope I don't have to talk about this tomorrow. After this break, we're going to get into some Clippers news and a preview of the game against Maccabi Haifa. So before the pregame, some kind of an annoying thing happened. The Clippers signed Jamal Artis. I don't know why. They cut Desi Rodriguez, and then they solved their too big of a roster problem by signing another guy. Let's assume he's going to spend some more time in the G League. Still just confusing. We still have guys we got to get rid of. There's a great article on Clipperholics written by the former host of this podcast about how maybe the Spurs are a potential landing spot to get Milos off the squad. We could get a second-round pick or something from him. I think we'd all be happy with that. Milos does feel a bit in the way right now in terms of talent, but we'll see what happens with that. Moving on, the Clippers will actually play against Maccabi Haifa today. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that name. Little history on Maccabi. They are a second division team in Israel, so let's hope we get the win. This also has to be the most low-key preseason game ever advertised. I don't even think it's going to be on TV. So if someone goes, call me, and we can talk about it while it's happening. Sacramento beat this team by 32, so let's hope we can at least get a dub. It would be very Clippers-ish if we lost this game after going undefeated so far. Doc Rivers said that he plans to play all of his healthy players, meaning 17 Clippers should see the floor tonight, including my guy, Angel Delgado, and all of our guys, Jonathan Motley. I so want to see Delgado absolutely dominate. I would love it if he put up a double-double or something like that. He's going to spend a lot of time in the G League, but I want him to show the fans what he can do. I'm a huge fan of Delgado. He's such a hustler. He was a grinder in college. He broke the record for the most rebounds in Big East history. It was Derek Coleman's record. That's a hard record to break. You can't do that unless you're an elite rebounder who has a nose for the ball. fantastic player. We all want to see Motley really come into his own. He played really well in limited action in the last game. I think in 6 minutes, he had 6 points and four boards or something like that. Kind of astonishing. I feel really bad for the guys on Maccabee who are going to compete against guys like Sindarius and Juwan, who are really trying to secure that last roster spot. I don't think there's going to be any lack of intensity from our side at all. I think guys are going to go really hard until that final whistle. Who do you guys think is going to get cut? I want some more feedback on this. It seems like the writing's on the wall, maybe for Juwan, which I can't really argue with. Ty Wallace has been playing so well that I want him on that second or third, probably third, lineup. I want to see Tobias Harris maybe have another nice game before we ramp up for the game, our first home opener, our only home opener, I should say, against the Nuggets on Wednesday. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting game. I wish I could watch it. I'm sorry I don't have too many pregame notes on it, other than just we're going to see some really intense guys. Starting lineup is probably going to be what our regular starting lineup is going to be, which is going to be Patrick Beverley, Bradley, Tobias, Gallo, and Gortat. I'd really like to see Trez out there working with these guys to see what that energy is like. Trez's defense, maybe want to see it stepped up a bit. He did have four blocks last game, but overall it was good defense, obviously, you know, in a vacuum. But team-wise, it's got a little more communication going and stuff like that. I would really like to see Mike Scott pick up where he left off. He played phenomenally in the last game for what he had been playing like, I should say. And so him to kind of get into his groove and hit some more shots would be great. Jerome is another guy who, you know, if Jerome goes off on this game, I don't think we'd be surprised. I also wouldn't be surprised if he maybe doesn't play as well. It just seems like a comfortability issue right now for him. That's not a bad thing at all. Being a rookie is weird. Being a rookie who gets drafted one spot next to another guy who's playing a lot better than you and is already on the second string also has to be kind of weird. The team chemistry seems like it's, you know, at a good point right now. All the guys like each other. There doesn't seem to be any weird introvert. There isn't anyone who's going to come in and cuss out and play with the third stringers against the first stringers. But just a little more comfortability with Jerome. He is assertive when he's on the court. He does a lot of talking. But sometimes I think that talking can maybe just be masking, you know, trying to get vindication that he's making the right decisions or something like that. But let's hope Jerome has a really good game. I have a feeling Ty Wallace is just going to absolutely go off on this game. He's been seizing every single opportunity he's been given. I don't see that changing tonight. I would love to see him put up a double-double or something like that. And Sindarius Thornwell is a guy, you know, he is the one that I want to see make this team out of these guys kind of on this cusp of not being on the opening day roster. He played so hard for us last year. He played well as well. You know, it's nice to see guys give out effort, but when that effort actually translates to success, it's an even bigger plus. So let's hope Sindarius can separate himself from Juwan and maybe Wes Johnson. I forget he's on the team, but Wes seems like he doesn't really have a place if he can't contribute. We want to see Avery Bradley. You know, him and Mike Scott were great last game as number two options for scoring. Let's hope Avery Bradley's defense looks good against Maccabee Haifa, the second division team. Yeah, my prediction for the score, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Clippers 123, Maccabee Haifa, you know what, 98. I think they're going to get close to putting up 100 points. I'm going to try and find a place to stream it. Occasionally I will illegally stream things. Please don't sue me, big NBA. That's pretty much going to do it for me, guys. Kind of a quick-hitting one. I had a lot to say about the Jimmy Butler thing in a short amount of time, so I apologize for that. I'll keep you guys updated on Twitter with everything that's going on. If you still want Jimmy Butler, please get at me. There's been a kind of a certain demographic of specifically white dudes who really like Jimmy Butler's move, which I think is really funny. I think it's a lot of people who think they're a lot tougher and respond to criticism than they actually are. I think it's absolutely insane. If anyone else came into your workplace and did that after demanding to leave and then say that they wanted to play with you, you would call them a lunatic and probably rightfully so. That has been all for me. I guess this pod, I have been Honest Chuck Mockler. I don't know at this point. I'm losing my own identities. William Updike will be back next week. We will be doing episodes, as I have this week, every single day. Really going to ramp up during the regular season. Oh my God, only 6 more days till the NBA opens up, or only 5 more days, I think, and only 6 until the Clippers home opener. God, I'm so excited. Let's hope we get that win against the Nuggets. I have been Honest Chuck Mockler. This has been Locked On Clippers, as always, on the Locked On Podcast Network. Have a great rest of your Thursday.